Jack reined in the sweating horse, throwing himself from the saddle.
Heard your radio message. You hear mad?
No. What? The teenager's eyes blazed like chips of ruby.
Dean.
What?
Taken.
Gaia, damn it.
When?
Yesterday afternoon. Christina shot one of the gang. Questioned him.
You still got him?
He died.
Why didn't you ask him
all... Dear, gang of slavers. Way north. Used the gateway. They took Dean.
Ryan suddenly thought of the last destination button. If this gang had jumped, then he could follow them. All wasn't lost.
I'll go after them. Food and rest, then I'll go.
One other thing found from wounded man, before he died.
What?
Slaver's leader?
Yeah.
Russian. His name? Zimyanin.
Graphic Audio presents James Axler's Deathlands. Narrated by Richard Rowan. With performances by Terrence Aselford, Colleen Delaney, Dolores King Williams, Nanette Savard, Karen Carbone, David Coyne, Ken Jackson, and Casey Jones. Deathlands number 15, Chill Factor. The corpse lay in a small barn to the east of the main house. In warm weather, it didn't take long for a human body to start deteriorating. Only a few hours, and the eyes began to melt back into their sockets. The soft tissues of the mouth, nose, and throat rotted next, along with the genital area. The man had died around 15 hours earlier, and had been placed on an old door that stood on a trestle table. It had gone through the brief period of rigor mortis, and now looked relaxed, the skin darkening. The man was naked, head back, staring blankly at the roof beams above him in the dusty darkness. His hair was graying, cropped short, with an old scar seaming the side of the scalp, just above the left ear. He might almost have been asleep, if it hadn't been for the dreadful mutilations. Christina had greeted the companions with solemn pleasure, showing the way across to the barn. The strain of the last day showed on her face. She limped more heavily than usual, the built-up boot on her left foot, dragging through the dust.
Did you both question him?
We both did.
Mildred leaned over to examine the dark-rimmed hole in the center of the man's chest, framed with the lacy pattern of dried blood.
The bullet killed him, went right into his lungs. It couldn't have taken too long for him to die after that.
Jack nodded.
Knew that. Knew wouldn't live long. But had to find out where boy went.
The black doctor straightened and looked at the two young people.
Someone made it a hard passing for him, though. Carving knife, hot irons, and a razor, too. Somebody want to explain this?
I think I'll go outside and get myself a smidgen of fresh air. Seems a tad humid in here. Just a little oppressive.
Doc went out, leaving the double doors ajar, so that a carpet of golden sunlight spilled across the straw and dust. It reached just to the foot of the makeshift table.
I tortured him. Jack tied him so he couldn't move an inch. I made him go out while I did it. It was best that way. Not a pretty sight what I did to the bastard.
There were rope burns around the man's wrists and ankles, and around his scrawny throat. The cords had been knotted so tightly that the pattern could still be seen on the skin, and blood had burst from under fingernails and toenails. Christy touched Christina on the arm.
You did right. Once that boy was taken, you could search the Deathlands all your life and never find him. At least we know more or less where he's been taken, thanks to the LD.
Ryan then asked the question that had been tormenting him since Jack told him who the slaver's leader had been.
Did he say that they'd come especially for Dean? That this Zimyanin knew he was my son?
Christina looked surprised.
No. Why should he? Men said they raided all around the southwest and along the Big Miss River. Need them to work up north. Why should they have known who the boy was?
A long story. Tell us about the raid, and I'll tell you about Semyonian.
She nodded.
Got a stew nearly ready. You must be hungered. Let's go in.
Ryan took a last glance at the tortured corpse.
What about him?
Bury tonight?
Well, he deserves that much at least, for what the poor guy went through at your wife's hands.
Poor guy? Mildred, this man worked for my enemy, and the one who took my boy. There's nothing poor about him. Don't forget that.
Mildred remained silent. She knew that she still had a ways to go before acclimating herself to this crazy new future world, but she was a surgeon, and her Hippocratic oath still burned in her mind. First, do no harm. Unfortunately, as her years in the Deathlands went by for Dr. Mildred Wyeth, that oath would come to be sorely tested. There was little conversation during the meal. Everyone was too concerned with eating. Christina was an excellent cook. They ate beef stew with potatoes and turnip greens, with rich gravy flavored with herbs that she grew out in the Trimbeck garden. There was also fresh-baked cornbread and some blueberry muffins with butter and peach preserve. Doc leaned back.
Upon my soul, my dear young lady, but that was a feast fit for a prince. My sincere compliments on your culinary skill.
Christina smiled, almost for the first time since their arrival.
Well, thank you, Doc. My mother used to do her best, but...
The smile vanished like the dew of the morning prairie, and the sentence trailed away into the stillness. J.B. Dix filled the silence. Wiping a dribble of melted butter from his stubbly chin, he looked at Christina.
Now that we've eaten our fill, tell us about how they came at you.
And so, with occasional interruptions and additions from Jack, she told them what had happened. Christina kept it short and simple.
Dean was checking fences, riding a pinto pony. He had a small .22 hunting rifle and a saddle holster. I gave him some bread and bacon to carry him through the morning, with a canteen of spring water.
No danger. Not been any trouble for a long time here.
That's true.
Was working on a broken blade off the main windmill, up a long, narrow ladder. Christina salted down pork in the shed.
It was a fine day. A few clouds to the south. Saw an old miner with his lame burro on the trail. See him every few months. He didn't stop.
Could he have been a scout for those men?
No. Old Josiah couldn't pull the wings off a dead butterfly. About an hour after he passed was when I saw the dust.
There was silence after that. All of them knew that the sudden appearance of strangers on the road in the Deathlands could mean instant trouble.
I was higher. Saw better. But I can't make out too good in the bright sun.
Being an albino, with death-white skin and pink eyes, Jack had never been able to see very well in strong light, though he saw better than most in semi-darkness.
Dean was spurring his pony, about 100 paces ahead of them.
How many were there?
Maybe 15, maybe 20. Can't be certain of the numbers.
What were they armed with?
I haven't got your cunning, J.B. Only heard long guns. One we caught had small caliber hideaway blaster and repaired carbine.
What kind of discipline did they have?
This was an important question, and Ryan waited patiently for the answer. There were enough gangs of raggedy killers all over the Deathlands. They rose like a foul growth of weeds, and generally didn't last more than a few weeks before they perished, months at the outside. But some survived, provided they had some kind of organization and good leadership.
Good. Skirmish line around the house. Tried long enough. Pulled back. Tried to get wounded man. Too close. Left him.
Okay, go on. What happened to Dean?
They shot his pony from under him.
After they took Dean, they came and tried for us. By then, Jack was in the house and we had the firefight shutters up. The one we shot...
You shot.
Jack was unable to hide his pride.
Christina's better than me with long blasters. Knocked him over in the dirt by the corral fence.
Christina smiled again.
I thought I'd chilled him clean. He went over, legs kicking, like a brain-dead gopher. I think I hit a couple of others. Jack found blood after they'd gone.
Can we see what he was wearing and carrying?
J.B. stood up.
Stuff's out back. I'll go with you.
Don't be too long, sugar. I'm going to help Christina with the dishes and then take a nap. Be waiting for you.
I'd be honored to be allowed to lend you a hand cleaning up as well, Mrs. Lauren.
Christina blushed.
Not many call me that, Doc, but I'll take you up on it.
She glanced at her teenaged husband.
Maybe teach him a lesson in manners.
Jack got up hastily, nearly knocking his chair over, not meeting his wife's eyes. Christy decided to stay in the house to rest, leaving JB and Ryan to accompany Jack outside into the baking heat. As they walked, the wind blew a ball of tumbleweed across the desert behind the homes.